50 years ago this month, James Watson and Francis Crick published a paper in the journal Nature to announce that they had discovered the structure of DNA, the biochemical blueprint for life. For an update on where genomic research stands now and where it's heading, we visited late this past week with Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Human Genome Research Institute. He supervises the Human Genome Project, an international scientific enterprise which has labored for 13 years to decode the information contained in our DNA. Collins explained what that means.
The real excitement of this is to apply this for medical benefit, to understand what this tells us about why I'm at risk for one disease and you for another, and better than just why, but how that happens and what we could do about it. So this is going to be the platform upon which we build the future of medicine. And in another 10 or 15 years, you won't recognize the way in which we do prevention, because it will be individualized based on what you're at risk for specifically. And you won't recognize how we do treatments, because drugs will be based upon understanding in a very precise molecular way what causes disease, instead of the largely empirical approach that we've had to deal with up until now.
Does illness get redefined?
Illness is going to be very definitely redefined. We lump a lot of conditions together now under one label because they have similar symptoms. And at the molecular level, we're learning that many of those are actually divisible into separable parts that have very different components and probably respond very differently to treatment. And so we want to know that.
There is knowledge about how leukemia, it's been an application already biomedically. How does this development affect that? Does it affect speed and accuracy of diagnosis? Does it help you at all know who might be predisposed to it, and those who beat those odds?
Yes, yes, and yes, and yes. It does all of those things, because the genome is so fundamental to the way that biology works, and when it doesn't work, the genome will often give you the clue. It will tell us who's at risk, not only for disease, but who will respond well to a drug and who maybe shouldn't get that drug because their biology is going to conflict with what the drug is trying to do. Individualized prescribing is not very far off. But maybe most exciting is this ability, and the example you cite of leukemia is the nicest paradigm right now, whereby understanding at the DNA level exactly what's wrong in a particular condition, you can design a small molecule that goes right to the heart of the matter and blocks the problem. And this whole area, which we now are calling chemical genomics, is a major part of our future at the Genome Institute, to try to make it possible for that to happen at a much faster pace, so that we can see these new therapies happening, not 20 years from now, but much, much sooner.
We've spoken mainly of biology and health, but biology and health are issues that intersect with other issues in human life, and there are certain scientific advancements that are causing quite a bit of thought ethically. Embryonic stem cell research is but one example that's been particularly prominent in the United States. How is this scientific institution addressing issues that are now will be brought up in society because of this remarkable advancement in letting us know how we are made up as human beings?
We are doing something unique and unprecedented in that regard. From the very beginning, back in 1990, we decided to set aside a fraction of our budget for the ethical, legal, and social implications of this advance in genomics. That's never been done before. Usually science advances and then somebody says, oh gosh, why didn't we think about that consequence? Why didn't we prepare for that? This time we're preparing and we're thinking, and we have recruited a cohort of the best and brightest scholars in ethics, in law, in social science, in theology, to wrestle with these questions and prepare a set of options of what we might want to consider as society in terms of whether there are boundaries that we don't want to cross, and in terms of whether there are safeguards we want to put in place so that this information doesn't get misused, used against people. It's still an experiment in progress because nobody's tried it this way before. What we now really must achieve is a full engagement of society in deliberating about these issues and coming up with a consensus view about how to move forward. And that's not an emergency. We've got some time. The sort of scenarios that people are most worried about, such as sort of designer babies, which are popular in various TV shows and magazines, but aren't really very realistic at the moment. But we will need to deal with that in terms of where the boundaries are. The pressing issue right now, which is ready for a policy decision, is genetic discrimination. If I was to have a genetic test, would that information be used to take away my health insurance or my job? That should not be allowed, and we need effective federal legislation to prevent that, and we're very close to getting it.
What do you think will be the greatest challenge of genomics in the immediate future?
If immediate is 5 to 10 years, the greatest challenge, I think, to us right now is to use these tools to really understand the causes of the common diseases that fill up our clinics and hospitals and affect too many of us and our families: diabetes, heart disease, cancer, mental illness, asthma, hypertension, this long list of common conditions, which all have hereditary contributions, but they are very complicated contributions, and they have been difficult to unravel. We now have the tools to do so, and I would guess in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to find those, and that will really launch us into an era where we can practice rational drug development, rational diagnostics, rational prevention. That's exciting.
Francis Collins is the director of the National Human Genome Research Institute at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. A pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
The pleasure's mine. Thank you, Deanne.